Let's go back in time to 1932 as Converse brings you historic footage of the legendary original Celtics with whom all great professional teams are compared.
We have now taken over your radio.
Richie Guerin is about to show you the most important step in getting past a man. It's the first one.
And Oscar will inbound it. The men in green, the Milwaukee Bucks, that's Al Cinder against Bellamy.
It has Jordan. Allen shakes. Gray gets two.
Gilmore on
a big step.
Lead Toledo Artis. You get 21.
4:28 to go in the first quarter for the Cal Palace. Here's Barry.
Jordan. Open. Chicago with the lead.
Hello and welcome back to the Over and Back Classic NBA Podcast. I am Jason Mann, and with me, as always, is Rich Craich. And our first time guest is Chris Manning. He is an editor at Fear the Sword, and he writes for Harvard Paroxysm. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on.
And Chris, you are going to talk about another Chris Paul, and yeah. We're going to discuss his top 50 case for being one of the greatest players of all time, as we have been doing all this offseason. Looking at some of like the basic stats, he is 35th in win shares, third all time in win shares per 48, third all time in box score plus minus, and 23rd all time in value over replacement player. So those are very impressive, especially for someone who is still, only 30, still probably has a few more good to great years in his career. He is fourth, four times he has been on the All NBA first team, two times on the second team, one time on the third team. He has had eight seasons where he was in the top 10 in win shares per 48, including six times in the top three. Also, eight seasons in the top 10 in value of replacement player. He is second all time in assist percentage and sixth all time in steal percentage. In the Bill Simmons Book of Basketball Pyramid Rankings, he was 90th, but this was in 2010, so 5 years ago. In Slam Magazine Top 500, which I believe was made in 2011, he's 107th all-time. I would imagine both of those would be higher today. He is the best point guard of his era, one of the best of all time, and just has a great and awesome combination of scoring and passing. And, one of the greatest players we've ever had a chance to see. I guess the only thing is whether he has, whether he's been around long enough to actually qualify for this list. So, Chris, what do you think of the top 50 case of Chris Paul?
I think it's pretty strong. I think just from, you already talked about how, good he is. He has set the standard for this generation of point guard. I'm only 22, so I'm not old enough to know exactly who, set the standard for, the 90s point guards. I would imagine it's Stockton or Payton. But you look at the guys that are really good now. You have Chris Paul, you have Kyrie Irving, you have Steph Curry, you have Russell Westbrook. Chris Paul set the standard for those guys. He set the example of, he's going to play both sides of the ball. Because if you remember, he's been an insanely good defender since a rookie. He distributes. He's become a better offensive player as he's gotten older. He's been clearly the best player at his position almost undisputedly for the past years now. And really only since Curry and Westbrook have kind of gotten out of brush line has it even become a contest of who's better. I think his argument, for me at least, is based on how he's just defined this era of point guards. He set the standard for the guys that are right behind him in years. And he's maintained a level of excellence for, five, six, 7 years now. That's just incredible. Like, looking at his stats, the one thing that jumped out to me was he has taken, over his career, his rookie year, he shot only 43% from the field with an average distance of 11.3. Going last year, in 2014-15, he got out to 16.3 and shot 48.5% from the field. That's incredible. Like, that he just has become a better shooter. He's developed a really, really good mid-range game. There's nothing that Chris Paul doesn't do well. He's just unbelievable.
I guess get along with his teammates is probably the only thing that maybe he does.
But I mean, we get the great vines of him jumping up and down and yelling at DeAndre, so I'm okay with it.
There you go. Yeah. He's very vinable. I don't know where he would rate in vinability, but I would imagine.
Oh, he's up there.
Probably
he's
top five.
Yeah.
LeBron, Russell, Chris Paul be my top four.
Okay, all right.
AD, I don't know where AD ranks, but
What about Jarris Smith? He's always a good one. I mean, not for the good reasons, right. But for all the reasons. Like, he doesn't know that he's a five star.
Maybe he does though. Maybe
it's just, you know, he is probably. I feel like Jarris Smith is very well self aware, but I could be wrong. But looking at, you know, as we want to do on these podcasts, is going back and looking at, you know, how these guys compare advanced stat wise to their era and then all time. At the position, and Chris Paul as a guard all time is just unbelievable, especially as a point guard. He stands out even more. 24th in points per 36, second in assists per 36. This position and era and position, I'm just counting all guards together for this. 7th in steals per 36, 31st in effective field goal percentage, 1st in win shares per 48, 1st in win shares, 1st in value over replacement player, and 1st in offensive box plus minus. So you look at not only point guards, guards of his era. Like, he is on some of those advanced stats and win shares and value over replacement or whatever, number one. Like, and it's pretty high above guys too, which is pretty remarkable as well. All time, if you look at his position, 69th in points per 36, so he suffers a little bit there, but everything else is right there. It's 4th in assists per 36, 33rd in steals per 36, 1st in win shares per 48, 7th in win shares, and 5th in value over replacement player. So you're looking at an all-time great guard who still probably has, you know, you could argue in terms of like looking at his health or whatever, the guy has how many more years left in the league that you can realistically say that he's going to play at least above average level unless something horrific happens? Like, I see, like, you know, at least 6-7 years, like, conservatively of pretty decent play.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't think that's insane to think.
He's a little small, which that might be the one thing. And he's had some history of some issues, knee issues in particular. So an earlier decline than that, it wouldn't surprise me, but I still think, you know, we got a solid, you know, 3 or 4 years, very likely, you know, very good production in that time.
And if his knees are okay, I think he also might have a really, really good old man game too. Like, if he can stay healthy knee-wise, he's such a good passer, and he's just an instinctual player and just knows what's going on around him. Like, he's like LeBron almost in that category, where he just kind of knows everything and how it's going to flow. With Blake being there, he might be a really, really good old man point guard. Like, he might not be as good on defense, but he still might be a really crafty passer and still like a top 10-ish point guard at that point.
I would like a Jason Kidd thing where he just becomes a knockdown shooter like that. Like, he's just so, so good at shooting at that point. Because you mentioned he's getting closer and closer. Maybe he sees the writing on the wall and says, you know, I should just become a really good three-point shooter. Yeah. And maybe he'll get there.
Yeah. And he's been one for the most part for the
– Oh, absolutely. You know,
so he doesn't have to go as far as Jason Kidd did to become one. So, yeah, I mean, there are very few negatives. I mean, the one thing that he sometimes gets, he gets a lot of crap for and probably doesn't deserve it, is there have been some playoff flameouts. I mean, he's never been to the conference finals. You know, there have been a couple of, you know, bad breakdowns, including in 2014 playoffs against the Thunder, where he, you know, helped, you know, had some costly turnovers and let that game kind of get away when they had a chance to win that series. Although in other times he's been a great crunch time player. I think at least a few years ago, I know he was up there like number one or number two when it came to clutch stats. So, you know, like anybody, it's situational and just sometimes you get lucky and what have you. But, you know, I don't think there's really any reason not to have him on there. I mean, I just think he's produced at such a level, even, you know, I think he belongs like very close to that first tier, if not in that first tier of guys like, you know, Oscar Robertson, Magic Johnson, you know, those level of guys. I mean, I think he belongs right in that category. You know, he was honestly very close to being an automatic, you know, let's put him in type guys just because of the thing. But, you know, I think it's worth the discussion. But he was very close to that point for me where, like, you just say, like, oh, let's go ahead and put him in.
With the playoffs, I mean, you look at who he last year. The Clippers team was really good, but it was very thin. There was, like, 7 playable guys on that team. Like, Austin Rivers was playing, like, so many minutes. And just with how good that West was last year. And, I mean, they beat the Spurs. I mean, you beat the Spurs. Like, I almost give him a pass for losing to the Rockets because they just looked exhausted, and he looked exhausted playing that many minutes. And he got hurt too, if I remember correctly. So I mean, you can't even really blame. I think there's like parts you could pick at him for, but I think you did with any really good guy. And I think it's almost the blame for the Clippers flaming out the past few years when he's been in the smack dead of his prime and they've been really good. It's not really his fault. It's just that they just don't have enough really good players to beat some of these teams that are really deep. And then And it's kind of, we kind of take sometimes for granted how hard it is to win three rounds and then win the finals. Like, you have to win four series. Three of the series are probably going to be against really good teams, and in the West, you're probably playing a good team every round. Like, even if the Clippers are the one seed next year, you're probably going to play the Jazz or something in the first round, and that's not going to be a fun series to win. Like, that's probably a six-game series where you have a lot taken out of you. And, like, last year, you played the Spurs. You played the Spurs who, if things break out differently, they're a top three seed, and they, a lot of people, including myself, thought they're probably making the finals last year because of how good they were going into the playoffs. Like, he's never had, like, a pancake conference to kind of go through.
Yeah, I was actually, when I was going back through his career, I've always kind of forgot that he's just always played in, like, the, you sort of forget that he's just been in the Western Conference forever, his entire career, and just, like, it hasn't gotten, you know, around him, it just keeps getting better, and the teams just keep getting better, and the players, and you look at him, and he's sort of, he stayed, you know, great and stayed good and been on decent teams, but yeah, it's just like he's never on one of those top two, you know, or top three West teams, really. These Clippers teams, you can make an argument for, but yeah, you forget that. I mean, man, since the moment he came into a hard West and just has not left that Western Conference. And it sucks. Yeah. It does. It hurts.
Like, do the Clippers make the finals if they're playing in the East last year? Like, there's a case to be made that because of how many injuries the Cavs went through, like, they would have played the Celtics in the first round, which they're scrappy, but they're very beatable. That Bulls series might have been tough, but they weren't at full strength. And the Hawks were banged up because DeMar Carroll got hurt in the conference finals, and they kind of took a dip at the end too. With Korver got hurt, and they weren't at full strength. So you put him in the East one year or something, and he plays worse teams, and maybe it just changes the narrative. Like, it would change everything. You can't do that, obviously, but it just speaks to how playing in one conference versus the other kind of does a lot. Like, if even like the big three Heat with LeBron, Wade, and Bosch, like, if they're playing in the West, there's no way they make the finals every year. Like, there's no way. The best team they played those years were those Indiana Pacer teams that, after Paul George got hurt and for other reasons, they fell off. They never had three brutal rounds like Chris Paul's had when he's made the playoffs.
Yeah, definitely. He's in. I mean, I think he's produced enough in his career. He's had enough elite seasons. You know, he's had enough. I forgot to mention the all defensive teams, but he has been in. He's been in several all defensive teams. I don't have the number right in front of me. Five all defensive first teams and two all defensive second teams. So, as far as that goes, he's right there as well. On the defensive end, he's one of the, you know, even though he's lacks size, he still has, you know, been a stout defender, both in terms of just, you know, being able to, being kind of the, you know, leading a defense and doing all the things that you need to do to, you know, be part of a great defense. And then, you know, the steals, the things that you can measure that may or may not have to do with good defense. But I think in both those tests, I think he's absolutely there.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's made people want more out of point guards defensively. Like, I really, really believe that. I think he's, because of how good he is, people want their point guard to be Chris Paul, and they want him to be, if not, there's no way to expect a point guard to be as good as Chris Paul on defense, but I think we expect point guards now to be better on defense and to be more active and get steals, because we've seen if that's what the best player in the league does, we should expect our guy to do that too. And I think that he really, in that regard, maybe more so than his offense, he's kind of set a standard for everyone else around him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Anyone have anything else?
I think the other thing that's, like, kind of worth mentioning is that he is sort of – this doesn't, like, totally – like, this maybe is more of a legacy thing, but he's kind of been, more so than other guys, like, influential off the court too. Like, he's just so active with the player association in a way that, like, other guys aren't, and he's just, like, kind of – he puts himself out there for players in a way that I think is, like, worth – it's not, like, something that totally impacts his top 50 status, but it's kind of an odd thing because you don't really see a lot of star guys do that. It's usually like your veterans that are like, you know, been around a while but are just not that great. It's like Chris Paul and LeBron have both done that. And like, look how active he was in the Sterling thing. Like, you don't see star players really put themselves out there in that way. Like, he's kind of a unique – he's kind of – for it doesn't maybe matter for his top 50, but it's a very unique case because he's one of the few guys that actually does that.
Yeah, it's kind of like Oscar Robertson in that way, where Oscar was also a guy who took, you know, the lead. He was the head of the Player Association. Also, I guess, kind of the similar personality stuff. And I guess kind of until he went to Milwaukee, kind of the same thing with the lack of playoff success, although I think Chris Paul's teams generally have been better than Oscar's teams were, of course, much different league then. But yeah, that's a good point. I do think that's a good observation. I think for the most part in modern times, yeah, there has been less star representation in union matters and such things. So that's cool. You know, he gets kind of a bad rep for how he acts in the court, and you know, maybe there's some off court stuff that contributes to that. But you know, I've always probably seems like a decent fellow to me.
Yeah, I mean, he's crazy with his teammates. Like, we know that from seeing how he yells at DeAndre, and we know he's probably kind of an a-hole. Like, I'd guess that playing with Chris Paul isn't always the most pleasant experience, but the dude cares, and the dude truly seems to want to just win. And, I mean, I think we knock players sometimes for, like, looking like they don't want to win, playing a very lethargic. You'll never see Chris Paul. I don't think you'd ever see Chris Paul just coasting around the court, like, taking a possession off. Like, he plays crazy all game. And just plays in a way that you don't always expect stars to. Like, we have stars in the league now. Carmelo will take defense. He takes defensive possessions off. Chris Paul plays two ways the whole game. He's probably the only superstar I can think of that hasn't had that defensive dip because he's taking on so much of the offensive responsibility. He's just as good defensively as he was. And there's just no one like him in a lot of ways. I think there's just no one, regardless of position, in the modern era at least, that is quite exactly like what he is.
Anything else, Rich?
That's it for me. I think we laid out his case pretty well, and he's gonna be an interesting one because we've kind of wrestled with how we take current guys, how we sort of rank them, what we think about them. But I think he's the guy who just has so much in the table that you can make a legit claim, and I don't think anyone's going to really argue with you. Right? I as far as our list, I don't know. It's still going to have to be one that we look at. But I mean, in terms of a guy who, if he retired tomorrow, I mean, that no doubt he would be in there. So we'll have to kind of wrestle with the idea of a current player, other than LeBron or Durant or whatever, if he's in that ranking. And I would say right now, I think he is. So I think he is worthy of being on that top 50 for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Chris, for being on the for joining us on our show. And thanks, everyone. You can find us at hardwoodparoxysm.com. You can find Over and Back and all the HP Network podcasts on iTunes. It would be awesome if you would leave us a rating and or review. And you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Over and Back NBA. And you can join the discussion about these players and other historical topics on our forums at Over and Back NBA.com. So until next time, thanks everyone for listening and goodbye.